couple of days ago, a report came down that U.S. high school seniors did worse on math exams this year than they had last year. This is a trend that we've seen over the last couple of decades. And my next guest thinks he may have a reason why. His name is Andrew Hacker. He's a professor of political science, but he's written a book about mathematics that's called The Math Myth, The Math Myth and Other STEM Delusions. And I've asked him to join us here this morning. Hello, Dr. Hacker. How are you?
Very good. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing just fine. Why are we not doing well in math?
We're not doing well with math because we are setting an extraordinarily high bar for every young American to jump over, and it's totally unnecessary. It's as if we were requiring everyone to become expert at playing the cello.
Wow. So are what you, I think what you're referring to here is the fact that when a kid gets into high school math, and I saw this just recently with my daughter, who's, you know, she's about to graduate from college, but she went through high school, and when she was a youngster, she loved arithmetic. I could teach her all sorts of little math tricks, and she could do multiplication and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But once she got past algebra in high school and got bogged down with geometry and trigonometry and then the early parts of calculus, I could see her excitement about simple arithmetic and math being drained away. And like most Americans now, she hates math. She hated having to take any more math than she absolutely needed. And that's part of the problem, isn't it?
It is the problem, Paul. There are millions, tens of millions of young people and now somewhat older people like your daughter who are made to jump through these hoops, which are totally unnecessary. And I'm not just talking about jobs. I mean, you know, at best 5% of American workers need algebra. At best 5%. 95% of them don't. But it's the question I really have. It's a three-letter question. Why? Why do we make your daughter and so many others take trigonometry, all those sines and cosines? I have no answer, except that it's always been done.
Now, you teach a course that is really about the basics of the kind of stuff that you do need as an adult to live in America and in our modern world if you're not going to be pursuing one of those STEM fields, right?
That's right. What I got permission from the Department of Mathematics at my college to allow me to teach an experimental section that I call Numeracy 101. And it's a really all you need is plain vanilla arithmetic, but at an adult level, so that you can read a corporate report or examine a federal budget or look at campaign promises about reducing taxes. And you don't need more than proportions, ratios, and long division. And some of the kids in my class, when I in this Numeracy 101, they said, you know, Mr. Hacker, this was just as demanding as my calculus course. So it's not dumbing down. It's really putting numbers to work.
And it's teaching people something practical.
Practical, but, you know, when you're looking at the federal budget as a citizen, it's not just practical, it's part of life. And we live in a very quantitative century. And one of the real problems we have today is not enough people are quantitatively adept. Teaching mathematics, believe it or not, algebra, calculus, geometry, does not help you with quantitative skills. That's another of the many myths I have, you know, when I call my book The Math Myth.
But you also say, the other part of your title is, The Math Myth and Other STEM Delusions. I was under the impression that you needed those higher levels of math to be taught in high school and on into college and probably into grad school as well, if we were going to have kids going into the fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which is what STEM stands for.
Absolutely. There are certainly jobs that need advanced math. As part of putting the book together, I took a trip to Marietta, Georgia, and interviewed some aeronautical engineers who were, you know, working for Lockheed, and they were working on ice, on wings, and how you configure wings to deal with the ice, and so on. Of course, they use calculus. 5% of the people may need that, but 25%, 95% don't. As far as STEM is concerned, yes, it's technical, but engineers generally just, again, use arithmetic and something else, too. Let's take this STEM age. Let me give you three words. Google, Apple, and Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even Starbucks sounds rather high-tech, doesn't it? Because, after all, we know, you know, the way they make coffee. But the real thing about Google, Apple, Starbucks is the creativity, the playfulness of those words. You know, Google, Apple, it's really marvelous. And these are not STEM skills. These are almost poetic skills to think of something like Twitter. And we're really shelving that by making people take so much algebra.
I'm curious what the reaction has been from people in the math department at your college and other mathematicians across the country. Do they look at you and go, oh, you're a political scientist. You don't know anything about this.
That they certainly do say that. And I would say very simply, hey, guys, I did it all the way you wanted. I had 4 years of math at high school, and I had freshman year of math at college. And if you tell me I don't know math, is that my fault? You had 5 years to teach it to me. I know enough math to know that too much is too much.
But you don't remember anything about binomial random variables, Andrew.
Well, when I brush my teeth, I try to think through them, but it isn't really working.
So how do we get exactly what you're writing about here and what you've written about in the book, The Math Myth? How do we get high school math departments to understand this and implement it and make math more friendly for their students?
What I'm asking is for the students to be given alternatives to a second year of algebra. You know, an alternative like the one we're talking about, numeracy.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps a course, if someone wants to give it, in the history of mathematics, the philosophy of mathematics. Or, for example, take Galileo. Galileo said, the great book of nature is written in mathematics. That's marvelous. What does it mean? Why not teach students that instead of the third trinomial?
You know, I also would like to see a little more teaching of statistics in this country. And I say that as a person who, in college, tried to take a college-level statistics course, but I had to drop it in the first 2 weeks because I didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
Paul, that's another chapter in the book, which I said, it's called How Not to Treat Statistics. Unfortunately, statistics, as taught in high schools, not just high college, but high schools and colleges, has become, I have to think of a word, highly mathematized. Now, you don't need all that to study a corporate report.
Right. You know, people do math all the time. Every sports fan who can figure out a batting average, that counts as stats right there.
Mm.
But you never think about it, and you don't learn that sort of thing, particularly in college, mostly because college-level statistics classes, I discovered the one time I did it, are taught by people who are at the PhD level or above, and they're thinking at a higher level. And by the way, Andrew, you'll agree, we need people like that. But they need to be able to teach me at a basic level.
There you have it. And one of the problems among my mathematics colleagues is that they don't get status points by teaching your daughter or other people's sons and daughters. You know, if you take the faculty of mathematics at, you know, our general universities, less than 10% of them teach an introductory course. You know, they want to be up there in the stratosphere. And as a result, by the way, we have fewer kids majoring in math than ever before.
Yeah.
It's down to less than 1% of all majors.
And larger numbers of people who say, oh, I hate math. Well, maybe we can change that a little bit with the book called The Math Myth, written by this gentleman here, Dr. Andrew Hacker. Thank you so much for joining me here today.
Well, it was good to talk to you, Paul, and may I say, you asked all the right questions.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It's the Big 550 KTRS.